Yeah, Betfair Casino.
Prize Pinball.
For no dough.
Believe
when I say free prize pinball every day.
Max one play per day. Free spins valid for 2 hours. T's and C's and eligibility criteria apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Let's bet fair casino today.
Remember all those special moments we spent together? Your smile in the morning over an espresso. Cozy afternoons curled up with a hot chocolate. Even keeping you up all night in towns and cities across the country. We've been through a lot together over the years. So how about we make some new memories? Over a coffee? Our treat. Feel the love with a Costa Coffee on us. Download the Costa Coffee app now to get yours.
For new Costa Club members who register between 17th November and 24th November. Redeem within 7 days only in participating stores. Subject to availability, see costa.co.uk/terms.
You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
John Scott, the All-Star man. John Scott, the family man.
Thank you for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott. Woo!
Yeah! How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us. Another missed opportunity. We didn't get a Monday episode in. Tim, everybody out there, I've been having a, you know when you have a bad day? It's been 3 days compounded. Back to back to back. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Just, it's been a couple days. I'm sure everybody has had those stretches where it's just like, golly gee, this, can it get any harder? So yeah, we're back Tuesday. I feel better. I feel good about the rest of the week.
So take us back to Saturday. When did you start feeling this way?
You know, it all started when my daughter came into the kitchen and she was holding a full roll of toilet paper that had just dropped into the toilet. And it just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah,
I don't know how many of you guys have kids, but this is a common occurrence in my house, where somehow these toilet paper rolls just get lobbed into the toilet all the time. So that was fun. And then another thing, they clog the toilets all the time. So I had to unclog a toilet where they just, and I've talked about this before, I think, or it's just like the toilet's clogged and they continue to add to the cesspool levels. It's like a little cake. It's a beautiful thing. When I go and try to unclog it, I'm like, oh, What do we have next? It's like a poo and a potty and a potty and a poo and then some other stuff. It's beautiful. So that was that. And then on Saturday, we were coming back. We had our first big snowstorm. And we have a new vehicle, the Nissan NV. Beautiful van. 12-seater. Awesome. I traded it in for we used to have one of those Yukon XL Denalis, which were just beautiful vehicles. Beautiful. Wouldn't fit our family anymore. Had to get more seats. So we got the Nissan NV. Great van. Juggernaut. Terrible in the snow, apparently. Put snow tires in it. I weighed down the back. I got about 500 pounds of sand. I threw it in the back. Didn't get up my hill. Got stuck on a Saturday. So we were coming back from church, I believe, and it was 10. It took me a good 2.5 hours to dig the thing out. And it was a frustrating dig, to where I would dig, drive for a little bit, get stuck even more. Dig, drive for a little bit, get stuck even more. Miss a tree, almost hit a tree. And it was a 2.5 hour saga of just, it was a pain. It was a total pain. And I'm stubborn. I didn't want to use salt because I was like, I can dig. You know, dig down from the snow to get to the gravel so you can get traction. And then you're like, I only need to go 10 feet. And then you go the 10 feet and you get stuck again. So anyways, that was, got a blister on my hand. That was Saturday. And the worst part about that is I get it, you know, unstuck. I go into the house expecting a hero's welcome. Nobody even batted an eye. They were just like living their life, not even worried about me. And I'm like, I just like busting my behind trying to get this van out. Didn't even have breakfast. They ate my breakfast. It was just, so that was that. Got a huge blister on my hand. Sunday night, I have my men's league. And I couldn't shoot the puck because the blister here is right there, Tim. You can see it.
Oh, yeah. That's a good blister. That's
right in the middle of your palm. So right in the middle of the palm. And when I hold my stick, that's where I put the knob of my stick. And my gloves are so worn. They're my old Blackhawks gloves that I wear. There's a hole there. So anytime I grab my stick, I was just in searing pain. So I was in a bad mood at hockey, and I started slashing guys and playing a little more physical, and they didn't like it. They were complaining, and I really let a slap shot go top cheese, baby, but they didn't like that I had a slap shot. They were being babies, and there was a big powwow after the game with the captain saying, John can't try so hard. He's hurting us, this and that. And I'm like, you guys, my team that I play on now, I would say 70% of the guys have never played organized hockey. I literally before the game had a dry erase marker drawing up how to, where to go after a faceoff. Cause what they do now, it's like peewee soccer where everybody just follows the puck around and I'm playing defense. I'm just like, guys, like, come on. I have three guys at the net alone with me and I'm just sitting there. I don't know what to do. So I'm trying to draw up plays and the other team's mad at me cause I'm trying, but they have a full team that's been together for years and they all know how to play hockey and they think we still lose. Ugh, frustrating. And then yesterday and today happened and this, it's just, my kids are sick. I had to go pick them up from school and bring them back to work. I got a ton of, there's a lot going on too. How was your wedding?
How was your wedding?
The fans don't care about my plight.
Yeah.
I'm like the 1% are complaining about my gold tower. They want to know about your wedding. How did it go?
It went great. Honestly, it went pretty much perfectly. We nice drive up and stopped at my alma mater on the way up, St. A's in Manchester, New Hampshire, St. Anselm College, and then drove up Burlington. So it's Woodstock, Vermont, which is, it's like a picturesque New England mountain town up. And it was snowy a little bit, a little like ice cap, but not too much. Very cold, but just like picturesque little like Hallmark movie channel town. Lots of cool little shops and cafes and restaurants and stuff. And the wedding was great. The family was all great. It was good to see everybody. My brother and my mom, they were so happy. So yeah, really good weekend.
You know what else was an issue with my weekend? I don't want to make it about me again. You ever get a song stuck in your head?
Of course.
All weekend I had this song stuck in my head. I could not get it out. You remember the old Afro Man song? Because I got high.
Yeah. That one? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All weekend I had it in my head. And that song has some terrible lyrics. And so I'm sitting there like just thinking about the song. And I'm like, why am I thinking about the song? All weekend. I finally got it in my head. Now I have Teenage Dirtbag in my head by Weedus. So I had to replace it with another very catchy, annoying song. But
All weekend. So the trick to that is you have to listen to the song a couple of times and then it's out of your head. Next time you get a song. Yeah. And then one more thing about the weekend before we talk hockey, too.
Make it about yourself. It's so selfish.
I'm very proud of this. You know how bad a great weekend could be ruined with a poor flight experience, poor travel experience. You know, it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. I had the opposite. So I drove down from Vermont about 2.5-3 hours with my uncle because he was also going to the airport, the Michigan one. And they dropped me off. And just the way that it worked, I had about 5 hours to kill. My flight was at 7:15. I got there at like 2. And I was like, I don't care. I'll go to a bar. I'll go to the corner, watch a movie on my laptop, whatever. I'm fine with that. And then I get another alert that if like I push back to 8:30. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm not going to get back in my apartment till like midnight now. And my uncle's a very experienced flyer. He's in a different terminal, but he texts me. He's like, hey, go pay the day pass for the Admirals Club with American Airlines. It's like $60, but you'd probably spend that much on like dinner and a couple beers anyway. And it's worth the extra service. So I had never done it. So I went over there and I was like, can you show me around? And she like gave me a little tour. It was great. So I did it. And I paid the money. And then she was like, do you want me to look and see if there's another flight that we can move you up to? And I was like, oh, yeah. And this is about probably 3:30. And she was like, okay, we can get you up to, there's a 4:30 flight. There's only one seat left and it's completely, there's already a bunch of like 12 people on standby, but there's one seat I can get you into. And it didn't take the first couple of times and then it took. So now I paid $60. I'm leaving in basically 20 minutes from now to go board. And in that 20 minutes, I had a beer, I had like, it was like make your own taco station. They had guacamole. They had chips and cookies, all this stuff. Unbelievable. And then as I'm boarding that flight at like, you know, 4:30, I get another alert that the original flight got pushed back to 9:30.
Oh, no.
So it would have been the worst thing ever. And instead, it was the best thing ever. Totally worth it. I'm definitely going to do that again from time to time.
How did you get bumped up in front of the people on standby? Because you're now an admiral person?
Yeah, it had to do with that level of service. Everyone was so cool. And free drinks, too, by the way. Not all the drinks, but they had like a couple of options that were free on tap and bottle. So, and maybe like a house red. And yeah, it was really, really cool.
You can't go back now. You can't go back.
I was walking around from there to my terminal, walking past like the quote unquote regular restaurants and bars. And I'm just like looking down at them like, oh, you guys weren't at the Admiral's Club? Were you guys sitting over there? All right,
you plebs.
That's fine.
You commoners, you peasants.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. I'm never going back.
Well, I'm glad you had a great weekend. Did I tell you about mine?
No, let's get into it.
Well, good. I'm glad it was a good wedding. Very, very exciting. Good stuff. All right. To the NHL. We got a lot to, because we've had such a long time off, there's a lot to recap. So we're going to do a little league roundup here. Everybody's streaking. We're going streaking. Remember that movie? Old School. Is that after your time? You're too young for that?
It was a little before my time, but I've seen it.
We're going streaking. Anyways, gosh, everybody did that. I remember in high school, I think I was in grade 10, one of the seniors for his senior prank streaked right through the school. But everybody knew he was going to do it. It was Joe Katoya, I believe his name was. Joey Katoya. So everybody knew he was going to streak. So we were all lining the halls. And he had his car waiting for him. Someone was in there to drive him away. Ripped right down the hallway, birthday suit, right into the car. Everybody knew it was him. The teachers found out because they obviously, why is everybody in the hallway? He didn't get to go to his graduation. So he didn't get to walk.
Punishment fits the crime. I feel like that's pretty good. That's pretty
even. You imagine him now. He's probably 42, 43. No graduation picture. Not that you would take your high school graduation picture, but your kids, why didn't you go to your high school graduation, Dad? Oh, because I wanted to run naked through the hallway. That's why. You know, you don't think about those things when you're 17. You're just like, this will be great. This will be epic. Legend forever. Not smart. So streaks.
Yes. There was a great moment over the weekend when they were playing Montreal, I think Saturday or Friday, and Cole Caulfield scored with 1.5 seconds left in the game to tie it up. And they had the goalie pulled and he had a shot on net, went wide, back to Suzuki, hard pass, one timer again, it goes in, and they cut right to Torts and he just starts laughing. Do you see that? He's laughing. He's like, what can you say in that moment? 1 second left, they couldn't close it out. And then they ended up losing in overtime. And it's just a great, it's a great visualization analogy of what the season's been like. And this is such an easy team to be down on because they should be better than this. They're not a good team, but you would think that would be like a good skip and a jump ahead of like the Arizonas and Chicago's of the world, but they just keep losing and losing. They have no recourse. There's nothing really to look forward to. You can say, okay, they're losing, but they've got this, this, and this. It's just, they're just losing. That's all it is.
Yeah, in typical Torts fashion, they have a tough guy, Zach McEwen, on the second line because the top guys aren't performing. They're not trying. They're getting a little bit frustrated with Torts, rightfully so. So he has his tough guy. I know they have Nick Delore, but they're both, you know, heavies. He's on the second line. You know, and I think Torts is trying to send a message, hopefully, to his star players, saying if you won't play, I'll put someone there who will try, who will want to do the hard things that I demand out of you as a player. We'll see if they respond. I don't think they will. I think this is going to be a long season for the Philadelphia Flyers, but I don't know.
He signed a 4-year deal. 4-year
who
deal.
Did?
Torts.
Oh yeah, $5 million per, right? He's making a lot of money to be a coach there. Like, it's not like he's getting paid pennies, but we knew going in that whoever was going to coach the Philadelphia Flyers, it was a tough job to take. They have a lot of, I don't want to say bad contracts, but not attractive contracts. When you got Kevin Hayes making 7.1, Atkinson 5.8, Konechny 5.5. Like, these are good players, but they're all just overpaid. Provorov making 6.7, Reese Stowe, friend of the show, making 5.1. All of these guys are very good hockey players. They're just overpaid. You know what I mean? And they're not overpaid being $2 million guys making $3 million. They're overpaid if you're Kevin Hayes, you're making $7 million when rightfully you should be making around $4 million or $3 million. Kevin Hayes, what do you think his highest point total, Tim, in his career is? 82 games. What's his highest total? He's been playing since 14-15.
I would say like high 50s, 55.
49.
Yeah.
That was his high with the Rangers. Ever since he got to Philadelphia, he's been a 30-point guy. 41, 31, 31, 19. And I know it's, you know, shortened season, COVID, but he hasn't had that one season where it's been like, oh, this guy's good. He's good. I know he's got a point per game this season, so that's good. Maybe he's trending in the right direction this season. But gosh, when you think of people making 7.1, and I like to do this, the comparables, Kevin Hayes is not at the top of my list. So I don't know. We'll see with the Philadelphia Flyers. It's not good. With Couturier being out, they're getting rid of Van Riemsdyk this offseason, thankfully, because that's another just tough friend of the show. There's a lot of them. I forget. But yeah, he'll be happy. I think he'll be happy to leave. The Flyers will be happy that he's gone. It'll be a win-win for the whole system. But there's just, like you said, there's nothing to look forward to if you're a Philadelphia Flyers fan. There's no young, good player on their roster that you can say, you know what, we'll be okay. Owen Tippett, who they got in the trade. Kiefer Bellows, they claimed him off waivers. There's no one you can just, Farabee, is he one? Maybe. You know, you're paying $5 million bucks for the next 8 years. Is he the answer to the Philadelphia Flyers? Can he be the next Claude Giroux if that's who you want to model your team after? But maybe not even Claude. I don't know. Is that the guy when you look at their roster, last thing on the Flyers? Is he the guy you want to build your team around, a guy who's only gotten 38 points in a season? That's his career high. He's been there for 4 years now. Is Joel Farabee the answer, the future captain of this Philadelphia Flyers team?
Yeah, Farabee and Konechny for me. They have a lot of young players that I don't know a ton about yet. Like Noah Cates, for example, Morgan Frost. They had that kid, Cam York, on the back end. Like, I think they're solid players. I don't know like how high end they are, what the ceiling is for these guys. So yeah, I would say probably Konechny and Farabee.
Yeah, Cates is a fifth rounder. Like, I'm not building my team around him. He's no. Yeah. If you're building your team around Joel Farabee, the future doesn't look that bright. You know, that's all I'm saying. All right, moving on. Who else is streaking, Tim?
Yeah, two other teams continued their winning streak, so we can touch on them real quick because we talk about them all the time. But the Devils are now at 13 with a win, decisive win over Edmonton last night, 5-2, including a really bad goal from Stuart Skinner that he let up, that turnover. But yeah, they're amazing. And I think one of the things we haven't really talked about, as good as you know, the Jesper Bratts and Jack Hughes of the world have been, is John Marino on the back end has just been lights out defensively. All those advanced defensive metrics. He's playing like Jacob Slavin levels of D and they're playing really, really well. And it's freeing up a guy like Dougie Hamilton to do a little bit more offensively. And even Damian Severson had a goal on the rush last night. So they're just clicking left and right. They're a lot of fun to watch. And then real quick, the Bruins also won last night. They're 7 games in a row. They're now at 17-2 after a tough game with Tampa Bay. Tough start. Tampa Bay looked really good for the first period and a half, and we thought we was getting outmatched. And then Boston just turned on the Jets, and it got closer toward the end. It was probably a little bit closer. I think it was 5-3 was the total, the final score, but still a good decisive win for those two teams.
Yeah, a good gauge to see who is the, you know, the contender, who's the pretender, which team is going to control the Eastern Conference. Because right now, you would have to think it's the Bruins to lose for the Eastern Conference title. The way they played, the way their goaltending situation has shaken out, it's been just 1-1A with those two guys. Even with the Devils, the way they're playing, you got to think the Bruins are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference right now. Just top to bottom, Tim. They are well-balanced. Getting McAvoy back, he's looked great. The whole team is just absolutely playing great hockey. I don't know any issues that the Bruins have. When you look at their team, everybody's clicking. There's no issue where you go, oh, well, the fourth line depth or the third line. Everybody's playing well. The fourth line's checking. They're playing good defensively. They're chipping in offensively here and there. The first and second line they're playing great. Grizzlick's playing great. McAvoy's playing great. Hamhuis, Lindholm, he's the defenseman they traded for last. Hampus Lindholm, he's the guy they traded for last year. He's finally shown up. Is there any concern in Boston right now from their lineup at all?
Really none. Hampus Lindholm had his first negative game since he joined the Bruins last year, which is like 30-something games. Like, it's crazy. And he's only a negative one. They're clicking on all cylinders. I'm not going to get back into it because we talked about them a lot, but they look really good. And then another team is streaking right now. The St. Louis Blues have won their 7th in a row. And if they win on Wednesday night, they'll have won 8 straight after losing 8 straight, which is just crazy. And Binnington, I think, has won 6 out of those 7. He's played really well between the pipes, which we're going to talk about a little bit. It's just his antics and gimmicks and just what a lunatic this guy is, but he's playing really well. And the Blues, I think, like I said last week, I think you have to consider them a legit threat no matter what their record is, just because they can go off and win the games in bunches at any time.
Let's talk about Binnington, because I saw that. And yes, good for the Blues. It's one of the amazing thing in hockey that you can have a 7-game losing streak and immediately go into a 7-game win streak. That's like, I don't know any other sport that you can do that, where you can just have, boom, you're a completely different team. And it is Jordan Binnington. Like I said, people laughed at me. Binnington's having a bad season. He sucks. He's actually playing really well. They weren't getting the goals. Their shooting percentage was garbage. The Blues were going to turn it around. And lo and behold, now they've won 7 in a row. Don't call me Nostradamus. I just see things and I say them. Back to Binnington. I saw this. Well, first I saw the headline. It said Binnington gets involved with fight. And I clicked on it. I'm like, what is this joker doing again? He always seems to find himself in the middle of a scrum, creating controversies, throwing water bottles at guy. Was he the guy who threw it at Kadri? Was that him?
Yeah.
The water bottle? He's a hothead. He's a rare goalie who just lets his emotions shone. We've interviewed goaltenders here. They're the most calm, zen-like people. Ryan Miller, Spencer Knight. Who else did we have on? Swayman. All these goalies are just so cerebral. They're just like, how could you upset this guy? You can't. Then there's Jordan Binnington. He reacts. He's fiery. Does that help him play, Tim? I think that fuels him. He wants to play on that edge. But a lot of the time, he looks like a clown. It's gotten to the point now where I saw this, where he grabs Carrick's leg because Carrick is fighting one of the Blues defensemen. I think there's 4 seconds left in the game. Binnington engages. He tries to hook the Anaheim Ducks player's leg. It was very slight. It wasn't a big deal. He didn't get him, but he tried to. It's to the point now where I don't say this lightly. This guy needs to get his face caved in. He needs to be taken behind the woodshed and taught a lesson. He's talking a lot of smack to the bench. He's talking a lot of games, swinging his stick, poking his stick in guys' faces. Someone needs to take care of this clown. It has to happen.
Because goalies are usually exempt from that sort of thing. Like, if a goalie does something you don't like, usually another player will have to pay the price. Most of the time. There are exceptions, and there are other goalies that are willing combatants. But I feel like Binnington's at the point where he's lost, like, credibility in that. Because here's a great example. There was a game, a moment, not last night, but a couple of days ago, the Bruins game, where Bergeron shot it like, pretty much after the whistle. Like, it was Bergeron, and he shot it. And you could see the guy go after him for a second. He realized who it was. And it wasn't that the birds are on like above, you know, any of that. Like if he does something bad, he'll get guy in his face, but it was just close enough. And because it was Bergeron, the guy let it slide. Things like that, because he's earned that credibility. I feel like Bennington's lost that. You know what I mean? Where at some point, there's going to be a player who's going to want to get in a legit scrap with him or slash him back or make him pay that in a way that goalies usually don't have to answer for.
Well, it'll happen sooner than later, I hope. Because St. Louis is a good team. They're winning. So there will be a time, hopefully in the near future, where St. Louis is beating a team by 3 or 4 goals and he does something. And a Nick Delorier says, screw it. I'm going after you. And I'm going to fight you. And then you're going to have to pay the piper, Jordan Binnington. You've made your bed. And I hope you get to sleep in it. Because it's just like, just stay out of it. Don't stick your foot, your stick in there. It's a greasy move. It's not your fight. Let him go. B, it's dangerous. What happens if he does grab that guy's leg and he's engaged in a fight and you yank his leg out? He could fall. The St. Louis Blues guy could catch him in a wrong spot because he's not expecting his leg to give out underneath him. There's a lot of bad things that could happen. And C, it should be a suspension. You're third man in, you're engaging in a fight. It's not your battle to be fought. Binnington. D, you're not even that tough. Am I wrong? You're not tough. All you do is like your little chihuahua. I want someone to cave his face in, please. Please. Christmas is around the corner. John wants a present. All you tough guys out there. Just take him out, please. That's all I want. Cause he's just, I've had it with him. At first, I thought it was fun. Oh, he threw a water ball at Kadri. He's so fiery. Look, I love that. Then he's yapping at the King's bench. He's swinging his stick at people. He's just being a baby when he's being pulled. Now he's sticking guys when they're engaged in a fight. Ugh, go away. Like, I want him to get beat up. Not like in a goalie fight where there are some goalie fights. Who was that guy for the Penguins? Johnson. I want Johnson to come out of retirement. Remember him when he crushed
Chad GPS? Johnson?
No. It was the Penguins goalie, and he fought a guy from the Islanders, and he just dropped him. Absolutely dropped. And then Michael Haley went after the Penguins goalie. Yeah, I want that guy to come out of retirement and beat up Binnington. But, okay, here's a question. Which goalie in the NHL is the toughest right now, do you think?
Robin Lehner.
He's out. I was thinking him, too. He's out.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. All these young goalies, I haven't seen them without pads on, you know?
Right. There's a lot of tall goalies out there, but can they throw punches? There's no, God bless him, Ray Emery. He was the one.
Well, and on a serious note too, Binnington's probably not going to fight, but what happens when he does something stupid and Delorier is in his face and the closest blue is someone like Justin Falk, who's got to answer for it now, and he gets hurt and he breaks his wrist or gets an eyeball or whatever, and all of a sudden he's missing time because of something stupid Binnington does. He's going to hurt the team, you know? Someone's going to get hurt.
Hopefully it happens that someone has to answer for this clown's antics, because it's too much now. It's gone too far. And St. Louis doesn't have a tough team like they used to have. They used to have a tough-as-nails team when you looked up and down the roster. I used to have to get pumped up when we go into St. Louis. They'd have Reeves. They'd have Jansen. They'd have Bortuzzo. They'd have a couple other tough guys, Dunn or whatever his name. They had a tough team. Now they don't.
Were Reeves and Jansen, do they overlap? Were they there at the same time?
Maybe Rocky Thompson was there. I think they did. They had a tough team. Every time we'd go into St. Louis, I'm like, okay, they had David Backus, who was a tough, tough character. They had a very lunch pail type mentality. Now they don't. They're soft. They got no one. So Binnington, if he keeps this up and someone, I hope Ryan O'Reilly gets grabbed and it gets his jaw broken. Good. And then he can turn around and say, thanks, Jordan. Thank you.
Except he can't say it because his jaw's broken.
Yeah, he's going to write him a note. Thanks. Drinking through a straw for the next 12 weeks. All right, so the Bruins, the Blues, just firing all cylinders to just put a button on this streak. My former team. Oh, my gosh. How the mighty have fallen. The Buffalo Sabres continue their futility, have lost 8 in a row. But on the bright side, you sent me a goal that Tage Thompson scored. Oh, he keeps getting better. I don't care how bad the Sabres are. They could lose the next 60 games. I still think Tage Thompson should win the MVP. He's so incredibly good. Silky smooth. He's 6'6". He's making... Can you describe that goal, Tim? It was beautiful. Well,
unfortunately, it didn't end in a goal, but it should have because of that effort. And he's got Matthews, Nylander, and I forget who the defenseman was, just all slash and hack. And he's work. He looks like he's dangling in a phone booth. And because he's so tall, and actually... this is a great little line in Hossa's book where he talked about how Chara was as a kid, how awkward it looked. It didn't look right. It didn't look like a hockey player. There's a little of that of Tage Thompson where it looks funny because he's like, he's going straight up and down with it because he's so long. But he's good. He's really good. You can see that confidence building where I don't know if he always believed in himself, but he can see the results happening now. And I'm sure that's affecting the way that he approaches the game. So it's pretty cool.
He's a great player. He's going to be the captain next year. Can we bet on that, me and you and I? Because do you think he'll be the captain?
Yeah, I do. I think if they were going to give it to Tuck, they would have given it to him already. You know what I mean? So if it's,
I agree. Because they gave it to Okposo. Okposo is the stopgap. Then it's going to be Tage Thompson. Oh, I love that guy. Anyways, you know what else I love, Tim? Food. And you know what else I don't like? Making food. So it's a win-win with DoorDash, everybody. Fire up your phone, get your tablet, get your app, turn your computer on, go to DoorDash and get some food. Whatever you want, your favorite restaurant, your least favorite restaurant, I don't care. Use DoorDash. They get you your food and you can use our promo code and save some mucho grande. If you're in Canada, use promo code GlovesDD. If you're in the US of A, use promo code GlovesDDUS. You get 25% off. You get free delivery and you get delicious food when you want it, how you want it. It's a win-win, Tim. I honestly don't know what else I can do for everybody. It's DoorDash. Check it out. GlovesDD. If you're in Canada, GlovesDDUS. Get yourself some food, save some money. Inflation's hitting. You can save a little bit through us with DoorDash. It's a good company.
Yeah, Betfair Casino.
Prize pinball
for no dough.
Believe
when I say free prize pinball every day.
Max one play per day. Free spins valid for 2 hours. T's and C's and eligibility criteria apply. 18 plus BeGambleAware.org.
Let's Betfair Casino today.
I'm Martin O'Neill. And I'm so excited to tell you about my first ever book, which is out now. It's full of stories throughout my career in football, from playing for Northern Ireland and Nottingham Forest to becoming a manager and taking Ireland to the Euros. It also goes back to my childhood when I dreamed of one day being a footballer, but ideally also playing guitar in a rock band at the same time. I hope my book brings you plenty of entertainment and insight, as well as a few laughs too. It's called On Days Like These, My Life in Football, and it's out now.
All right, back at it. Just a side note. Have you ever gone potty and as you're peeing, you're like, gosh, I got to drop a deuce. And you have to like stop the stream and turn around and sit down? Or do you know going in, you're like, I'm going to take a poo?
I mean, I bet that's happened in my life, but no, you pretty much know. I'm an adult. I know what I have to do.
Just happened to me. where I was like, I gotta use the restroom. I'm in there. Midway through, I'm like, oh boy, I gotta stop this and turn around before we have an accident. But everything's great. I just don't know if it happens to other people. I don't know. But apparently I'm weird.
A lot of bathroom talk today.
Is there? Not from you.
Well, I'm polite. I'm polite company.
Do you use Crest White Strips on your teeth?
No.
You got white teeth.
Yeah, part of it's the light that I have. But anyway, let's talk a little bit more about hockey. So the Bruins played the Lightning last night, and I was digging into this team a little bit because I feel like We have kind of dismissed them early on. I think you predicted they won't make the playoffs. So right now, I think they're in a playoff spot, but they're just barely. But they've been playing pretty well lately. Before last night, which they lost, they had won four in a row against pretty decent teams. Like the Predators,
very good teams, yeah.
Yeah, Calgary, Dallas, and the Washington Capitals. Four good wins there. And they played together. They played pretty well. Braden Point is a point per game. Stamkos has 10 goals. And Kucherov, who we barely talked, maybe not at all this year, has very quietly put up 28 points, which is third in the league. So, like, they're playing pretty well. And Vasilevsky had a pretty pedestrian start by any standard, especially for his, and he's strung together some pretty solid starts. And even though he let up five last night, he made stop three or four like major grade A chances that the game could have gotten out of hand. And so watching this game, it's clear that like the Lightning, they're still a good team. Even though the Bruins put up five on them, they still were all up and down the ice. They were in their faces. They're a very physical team. I think if there's one thing I could knock them for, it's probably they're a little bit slow. Other than their superstars, like you watch like the Killorns and Maroons of the world, they're just somehow a little bit of a step behind. This is just one game. Maybe it was just an off night for them, but I do still think they'll be there at the end. And if they make the playoffs, even in a wild card spot, you got to think they're a dangerous threat to upset whoever they're playing, right?
I don't see them making the playoffs. I'm sorry. I stand by my prediction, and I think you nailed it as the reason why. I don't think they have the depth that they used to have. I really
don't.
With the replacement players that they brought in to fill in the third, fourth, even the second line now, I don't think is as dangerous when you got Nick Paul as your centerman on the second line. I don't think he's
I like him,
dangerous.
Though.
Oh, he's I like him, too. Yeah. I like him. He hustles. He gets in
two
on the
rush.
Two goals
last night.
Which is
a weird looking dude,
him.
Though. He's a weird
I don't think he
dude.
Finishes as often as he should. For the amount of grade A chances that he gets, the guy should be getting 35, 40 goals a year. But I don't see him being that type of player. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not sold on Tampa Bay. Losing Ryan McDonagh was such a big hit. It's such a drop. I know Zach Bogosian, people love him because he's been around forever. He's showing his age. Ian Cole, very similar type player to Zach Bogosian, maybe a little bit better with that first pass, but I like Hedman. I like Sergachev. I like Hayden Fleury. I don't like the right side. Chernak, Cole, and Bogosian. I get what they're trying to do there. You have a fleet-footed left side defenseman who can get up in the rush, and you're going heavy on the right side. I get that. I like it. I just don't. I'm not sold on it. And like you mentioned, as Vasilevsky goes, their team goes. When he's off, they lose, and they lose bad. When he's on, they win. So I guess if you're going to bet on Vasilevsky, who else do you want to bet on? He's the guy. He's the guy in the playoffs. He's the guy in the regular season. He's one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, but he's not playing. He's playing okay. He's playing okay. We'll see how it shakes out the rest of this season. But like you said, yeah, he played okay versus Boston, Nashville, and Calgary. He was fantastic. Last few games before that, though, his save percentage, 0.86, 0.792, 0.897, 8, 889, 879. Those aren't Vasilevsky-esque numbers. Yes, he's had the odd game where he's just lights out, like when he played Calgary and he's everything they threw at him, he was saving. But other than that, he's been very pedestrian, like you mentioned. So I'm not sold on Tampa Bay. I said at the beginning of the season, and I'll stand by my prediction. I don't think they make the playoffs, but I'm wrong. If they do, I don't want to face them.
Right.
I'll just say that. I don't want to play them first round if I'm a two seed and Tampa Bay 7 and I'm the Boston Bruins lining up to drop the puck on game one. I'm like, Tampa Bay Lightning. No, thank you. All right. Prediction again that I said should happen is finally coming to fruition. Shane Wright finally sent down to the AHL. Good. He's going to the AHL. He's going for 2 weeks, Tim? How does that work?
Yeah, basically, this is not exactly set in stone, but this is my understanding of it from what I read online. He'll go down for a couple of weeks, which is going to bring him to the beginning of December. And then he'll basically have two more games that he can play in the NHL while still being under that threshold that they can get sent down and not eat a year of their ELC. And then he'll go to play World Juniors. And I think basically how it works is he'll be able to the World Junior tournament. And then I think he'll be able to play down and back in the minors permanently for the rest of the year. So it's kind of long and convoluted, but basically as frustrating as it's been for the Kraken fans, and I'm sure for him, because even when he was dressing, he wasn't getting many minutes, and he was certainly being scratched a lot. So I think he'll still be able to say he got some pro experience. He'll be able to probably shine at that World Junior Tournament and then go back down and get some more seasoning, be ready next year. So I think we might have seen the last of him for the most part this year, and probably a little bit disappointing. I know the Kraken fan are, but I still think he's a talented kid that's going to just – you look at some of the comparables and some of the players that really – didn't perform their first year, like Braden Schenn comes to mind, Draisaitl, similar things where they just didn't do anything and they got sent down. You think, okay, maybe this could be a bust. And obviously those guys were just fine. So too soon to tell, but I think that's probably how this will play out.
They could not have bungled this any worse. I know you're trying to paint it into a good ending. It's not a good ending. This could not have gotten any worse for the Seattle Kraken or for Shane Wright. It was a complete disaster. He had no business being in the NHL at all. And I've said this before. I've seen guys, their careers just crater because of a bad first experience where they go, they lose all their confidence. And hockey isn't fun for them. And then they just struggle for years and years to gain that back because they're just so young. But yeah, so the way it works, he has 13 games of NHL allotment before he has to stay on the roster. I didn't realize he could go to the AHL. I don't know how that works. Maybe he's on a conditioning stint or there. I don't know, because usually I thought you had to be a certain age in order to be sent down to the AHL. So that's something I'm unsure on. But yeah, he should go back to juniors. He should just, I don't know. There's no upside for anything now when you're, whether you're Shane Wright, whether you're the Seattle Kraken, anything. They bungled it. I don't know if he didn't get the opportunity on the first line. Maybe he didn't earn it, but he has no business being on the fourth line, third line in the NHL. The guy's a first line player. That's where he belongs if he will make it in the NHL. I don't know. Hopefully he can figure it out and get his confidence back. And like you said, go to the World Juniors, exceed there, go back to juniors, help his junior team, and just regroup for next year. Because this year was it was awful. It was completely awful for a guy everybody thought was a surefire NHL superstar. Number one overall, he's going to come in. He's going to light the NHL on fire to being dropped down to the fourth overall pick, having all these high expectations and grudges. They're going to rue the day they didn't pick me. And now he's being sent back to juniors. So good. Go back, get lost in the minors, start playing good hockey, and we'll see you next year, Shane Wright. Hopefully he can figure it out. Milestones, Tim. Evgeny Malkin, 1,000 games. It's not even a big deal anymore. I don't care. 1,000 games with one team, kind of cool, but is there anything else to add on this?
No, just recognizing that. Obviously a great player, and he scored in that game, which is pretty predictable. He's an emotional guy, and similar to like Binnington, like he beat the Avalanche in their first game this year after he got embarrassed by them in the playoffs. So Malkin's a similar guy where he's driving by his emotions. So cool milestone for him. And then, you know, similar vein, Patrice Bergeron had his 1,000th point last night on an assist on Brad Marchand's goal, which is pretty cool. They had that little moment where all the guys, even though it was an away game, they all came on the ice to celebrate with him. And there was even a Bergie chant in Tampa Bay, which was really nice recognition for him. And it was cool to it was very fitting for him to get the assist on Marchand's goal. Like, it's just, that's what they've done for 15, 20 years now. So good for him. And then we had the Hossa jersey retirement this week as well, which is also pretty special. And actually, they finished his book this morning, which is good. I know you're about halfway through, right? And
so, not reading it.
You should. No. It's good. I'm actually going to give his copy away on Instagram. So check us out. We'll do a giveaway this week, dropping_gloves. I'll mail a copy to a Wings fan or, you know, Hawks fan or just a hockey
fan.
How
generous.
To read it.
Giving away a used book. You're the man.
Man of the people. All right, passing it on. But really cool for him. And then another record last night, Cale Makar, the fastest defenseman ever to score 200 points in a season, in his career. He did it in 195 games, which is just crazy when you think about the Borks and Potvins and all those other big names. And it was Cale Makar to do it in this modern era, which is just pretty special.
Well, he will go down as the best defenseman, offensive defenseman, I think, in history. The little caveat there is Bork, Coffey, Brian Leetch, all of these high-end, Phil Housley, these defensemen, when they came into the NHL, they came into really bad teams. Cale Makar got to walk into the NHL from college and he walked on to just a high octane juggernaut of an offense. And he was the piece that was missing. So he benefited from just stepping into the sweetest situation. I'm not taking away anything from him, but I think you have to kind of look at scenarios when you look at how players are responding their first few years in the league, because look, Cale Makar, boy, it's pretty easy when your power play consists of Rantanen and MacKinnon and Kadri at the time and Devin Taves and all these other high-end guys who can just create a little bubble around you until you get your feet wet. Like he's a good player, but take it for what it's worth. It's a record. Those are very rarely broken. The fastest to 200 points in 195 games. That's almost a point per game. It's a crazy stat. All right. Let's do some quick hits and get out of here. Nikolaj Ehlers, hernia surgery, out indefinitely for the Winnipeg Jets. Is that a big deal for the Winnipeg Jets, Tim?
Yeah, it is. They're winning pretty well as well. That's a terrible sentence.
We're killing it today.
Yeah, they're stringing together some wins. They're surprising most people, I think. But yeah, they're a better team when Ehlers is scoring, and he's out for months probably. So that's a bummer for them.
No, he's not immature. He's just young for his age.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. No, you can be both. They're not the same. All right. Zaitsev for Ottawa. The healthy scratch sent down to the minors, going to Belleville. There's a trade on the table between the Ottawa Senators and the Vancouver Canucks. Both teams just struggling. They need something to change whatever is going on in that locker room because they're both just having bad season. There is a straight-up trade that was about to be signed, sealed, and delivered for Nikita Zaitsev and friend of the show, Tyler Myers. Nikita Zaitsev nicks the deal. He said, I ain't going to Vancouver. He enacted his no-move clause. So in retribution, Ottawa said, you don't want to go? Guess what? You're going to the minors. Kick rocks, kid. Which is good for Zaitsev in the grand scheme of things. He doesn't have to pay escrow now. He's saving that 20%. He goes down to Belleville. No pressure whatsoever. And just plays hockey. And he's still got a couple more years on his contract. What a bad contract Toronto signed him to. But why would he not want to go to Vancouver? It's such a strange thing where you can go to a new situation, play in the NHL, play with new players, and potentially revive your career because it's not working in Ottawa. Is there anything I'm missing there? Why did he nix this trade, Tim?
I don't know. Would you want to go play there?
Yeah, hell yeah. I'd go to Vancouver over Ottawa. Take care, comb your hair. I'm on the next flight out. I don't care how good or bad the team is. Well, actually, I guess that matters, but Ottawa's not a good team. They're floundering almost in last place in the Eastern Conference right now. They're struggling. The coach hates him. DJ Smith wants nothing to do with Zaitsev. He's going down to Belleville. Why not go to Vancouver and try to resurrect your career? Play with NHL caliber guys. You're going to be, surrounded by good young talent, at least in Vancouver. I know you were in Ottawa and it didn't work out, but try something new. Maybe he's just sick of Canada. Toronto, Ottawa, over to Vancouver. He's like, just get me to an American team. But it's a strange thing to nix a trade.
Yeah, I wonder if he's just holding out for something better, taking the chance that they'll work out another deal to a team that's a better fit, maybe. I don't know. I'll give him a call and ask him what's up.
Well, there's not a lot of teams who you're looking for defensemen. Everybody's always looking for defensemen. What teams are not looking for is a guy who's making $3.5 million who sucks. So I don't think anybody's ready to take on a $3.25 million contract for a player who's just consistently out of position, never engaged on the defensive end, and is just a bad defenseman. So if there's anybody in the market for that guy, let me know. But I don't think there's a line waiting for a Nikita Zaitsev trade. All right. Another rumor out of Vancouver. Bo Horvat, their captain, having a career season, continues to score at a torrid pace. Rumor mills are swirling around him being traded to the New York Islanders, potentially for a Josh Bailey and a draft pick. Package those two together to get Bo Horvat. Is that a good fit for both, for Bo Horvat or the Islanders?
I would say, yeah. And I would say, honestly, probably Bo Horvath type of player that would be a good fit just about anywhere. So I think, yeah, I know it's kind of a safe answer, but yeah, I think he would be a good fit. And when you talk about the 1-2 punch with Barzal and Bo Horvath, who are such different types of players, are they both able to produce offensively? And John, what do you need to win championships? Oh, John, you're muted.
You need strength down the middle. And Bo Horvat is an absolute moose of a man. I love it. I love this trade for both teams. He gives them that. And that's the thing. They are already strong down the middle, the New York Islanders. If you can bump Nelson, maybe Pageau plays the wing, Nelson down to the third line, that's, boy, oh boy, that's a strong lineup. If you can make that work, maybe Nelson goes to the wing. Bo Horvat centers that second line. All of a sudden, the Islanders are already good. Makes them very, very good. Resurrection season for the New York Islanders. I thought they were going to just fall off the map this season, but everybody's playing well. They got a good back end, Tim. Noah Dobson, Mayfield, Pulock, Pelech, Romanoff. Gosh, they're strong. I like them. I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs. Would you, tell you what. This Eastern Conference, there's no easy out. There is no easy out in the Eastern Conference. All right. Did you see that Matthews hit?
I didn't.
You didn't see? Oh.
No.
Well, I guess we won't talk about it then. Matthews clipped somebody. I don't know who it was. It was exactly like my hit of Louis Erickson. Exact. The guy gets rid of it. Matthews catches him. Nails him right in the head. In my opinion. IMO. No suspension. Such a joke. All right.
Okay.
Same game.
I just watched it. I would say it's way more of a hit to the head than your hit was.
Yeah.
Way less force than yours was. I think his was more incidental. Yours was, you had him lined up for 50 feet before you got him. His was like, he's right there and he threw the shoulder into him. So
no suspension. Do you think that's should he have been clipped for one game at least?
I wonder if he got a call or anything, or if he got at least a conversation with the refs about it. I don't know. Or call. Them. Yeah, but I got the day planned with Zaitsev, so I don't know if I can squeeze that in.
Okay. Well, next time. Same game, Mark Giordano. Did you see this? Probably not. You don't watch hockey.
I was busy this weekend, John.
He got one of the weirdest goals I've ever seen. Mark Giordano following up the play. Mitch Marner makes a great pass to him. Sells the defender. Drop pass to Mark Giordano. The defender goes flying into the net. Takes the net off. Nets already hit the backboards, Tim. Already hits the backboards. Mark Giordano flubs the shot, goes across the goal line, and just squeaks in to where the post would be, because you can see the hole where the peg is for the net. It slides just in the net. The ref gives him the goal. It was so incredibly strange. It was at least 5 to 10 seconds after the net had been knocked off. Giordano finally manages to get the puck off his stick, and they give him a goal. Now, what do you think of this? Should this be allowed?
So I just watched it, and I'm sure in the broadcast and the league, the rule is if it's intentionally pushed off the moorings, which the defenseman did, he slid right into it and he was untouched. It was all him. And it would have gone in otherwise, then yeah, I think that's probably what they said. So it seemed like a good goal to me. I can see why they'd be upset about it, but like, I think if the play is still active and the defenseman pushes his own net off while the other team has the puck in a scoring opportunity, that you don't blow the puck dead. Or if you do, you give them that goal like they did.
It's a I don't know. I get the reasoning. I just don't think it's a goal. It gets so long after the play and it's such a dumpy shot.
Would you be better? Know. Like, maybe it's a penalty instead, you know?
Yeah. 2-minute penalty, delay a game, but not a goal. Where does this end? Now guys are going to be firing the puck in from everywhere and the net gets knocked off. Like just yeah. Fire it. Yeah. Wherever you are, just start ripping pucks. Try to get a goal. Because that was a little egregious. But anyways, yeah, funny things happen in the NHL. All right, a couple more things. Did you see Jamie Benn get beat up by Josh Manson?
I did. What's your take on this?
We need tough guys in the NHL. Every team should have one. For instances like this, Jamie Benn has no business fighting Josh Manson. Jamie Benn is the captain of your team. He shouldn't have to answer against Josh Manson, who is a legit tough guy. legit tough guy. And then Manson's got the flipping visor on. Oh yeah, Manson's tough.
Okay,
tough kid. In today's game.
Yeah,
I don't want to bring it back to me, but when I think he was around when I was there. He was just like, we would call guys like him. I would beat guys like him up on the way to a fight. You know what I mean? Because he wasn't tough. That's what my brother would say. He was like, yeah, I'm going to beat this guy up and then go to the real fight because this guy's not tough. So back to Jamie Benn. There's no reason he should be fighting this. It's dangerous. I know Jamie Benn's tough, but Josh Manson's out of his weight class. Your captain's going to get beat up. It looks terrible on your team, and you could lose one of your best players. I know Jamie Benn struggled the last few years, but he's still one of your top five or six guys on your team. There's no reason for this. It just drives me nuts. Go get a tough guy. Go get somebody who can just take care of business. He doesn't have to be an old school goon. Ryan Reeves is on the market. The Rangers don't play him anymore. He's been a healthy scratch, I think, five games in a row. So he's on the market. Go and pick up Revo. Stuff like that really bothers me because he shouldn't be fighting. Should not be fighting. All right, that's about it, everybody. I hope everybody is having a good week. We'll probably do one more episode. Maybe Friday after Thanksgiving. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Tim is just so hard to pin down now. He's so busy. He's got calls with Zaitsev and Matthews and stuff like that. But that aside, I appreciate the support, everybody. I hope everybody's doing better than I am. Oh.
What's your plan for Thanksgiving? You guys are staying local?
Going to my friend's house. So the Bills are playing the Lions on Thanksgiving. And my buddy's a big Lions fan, and I'm a massive Bills fan. And we just threw this on the wives where it was just like, hey, we're going to have a combined Thanksgiving. How does that sound? And my wife's all for it because she's like, I don't have to do a Thanksgiving dinner. That's great. But the house we're going to, they have six kids. We have seven kids. So there's going to be 13 kids there, four adults. And my buddy's wife was just like, sure. Like, I need to get more turkeys now. I don't know how this works. But yeah, they invited us over.
Nice.
So we're going to someone's house. What about you, Tim?
Well, I'm not going back home, obviously. So I think I'm going to go out to Asheville with the dog, which is like a mountain town, western part of the state. Really beautiful. Haven't been yet. So we'll just go stay at a dog-friendly hotel somewhere and have a nice meal. Just make a little weekend trip.
Sounds very hillbilly. Asheville.
Yeah.
Nice. Romantic date with your dog at the hotel. Keep it PG, Tim, and have a good Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.
Yeah, Betfair. Casino.
Prize pinball.
For no dough.
Believe.
When I say free prize pinball every day.
Max one play per day. Free spins valid for 2 hours. T's and C's and eligibility criteria apply. 18 plus begambleaware.org.
Let's bet fair. Casino today.
Remember all those special moments we spent together? Your smile in the morning over an espresso. Cozy afternoons curled up with a hot chocolate. Even keeping you up all night in towns and cities across the country. We've been through a lot together over the years. So how about we make some new memories? Over a coffee? Our treat. Feel the love with a Costa Coffee on us. Download the Costa Coffee app now to get yours.
For new Costa Club members who register between 17th November and 24th November. Redeem within 7 days only in participating stores. Subject to availability. See costa.co.uk/terms.